Well, I remember when Christy was pregnant with Marissa, we had this book, and many of you, if you've gone through pregnancy, you're going to know this book. It was called What to Expect When You're Expecting. Has anybody ever read that book? Right? There's a movie. I don't think the movie, it doesn't really, it's probably not as good as the book. But this book, you read that book for a reason, right? One reason you're probably expecting. Now, if you're just a nerd and you like to read, maybe you read it for fun, but usually if you're reading that book, it's because you're expecting. And you're expecting something specific, not just expecting something like, wow, I got kind of large and I wonder what's going on. No, you know what's going on. You're expecting a baby, right? And so if you're expecting a baby, you're looking forward to this one specific day. You don't know when the day is going to be. You can kind of guess sometime around this time, but you don't know for sure. You just know I'm expecting a baby, and I'm looking forward to the day that baby is born. Any you guys ever looked forward to that? The day, I remember both of our kids, they were both induced labors. It was like the doctor's like, do you want to have this baby Thursday? And we're like, well, yeah. You know, like, who doesn't want to not have to get up in the middle of the night and pack the car and drive frantically? It was like, we just got there, and, like, today's the day we're having a baby. It was easy. But when you think about this anticipation that builds up to that day, you're looking forward to the day the baby's born, and you have a lot of questions. You have a lot of questions about the process, especially if it's the first time. But you start to think, if you don't know already, I wonder if it's going to be a boy or a girl. I wonder if it's going to have a lot of hair or no hair. I wonder if it's going to be a big baby or a little baby, if it's going to be a loud screamer or if it's going to be pretty quiet and let me sleep at night. I wonder if it's going to look more like mom or more like dad. We have all these uncertainties when we're expecting, don't we? There's a lot of questions. And there's only one thing we know. We know that what's in there is a baby. We're expecting a baby. Everything else is left up in the air, and you just are not going to know until you know. So there's a lot of wondering in the waiting. There's a lot of trying to figure stuff out and trying to guess. How many of you have been pregnant and somebody is like, I know for a fact that's a boy. I can tell because of the way you're carrying it. And then somebody else is like, I know for a fact that's a girl. I can tell because of this, because of that. And they have all these things they're trying to guess. At the end of the day, everybody's just guessing. In the time that you're waiting, you're wondering. This is a time that we're wondering, but we continue to expect and we continue to trust that it's all in God's hands. We continue to look forward to that day. And when you're expecting, your mind is set on a future reality, right? You're not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, that was just a dream. That didn't really happen. Like, you're expecting a future reality. This baby is going to be born. It's going to happen. And hope abounds. You're excited about it. Something stirs within you that causes excitement when you are expecting. And there's just something different about an expectant heart. And that's what we're going to look at today, is having this expectant heart. And there was a day when John the Baptist was preaching. And as he's preaching to the people, the topic is a topic that most people would not really love too much today. They probably didn't really love it at first in that day. It was the topic of the importance of repentance. And as John is preaching repentance, we're told that he's preparing the way for the Lord. He's preparing the way for Jesus. But we're going to pick up here in Luke chapter 3, verse 15, where it says the people had an expectant heart. It says in verse 15, now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." John's message was repentance. And again, you don't hear enough about repentance, but repentance is critical to the salvation process, but it's also critical to your spiritual growth. Continuing to repent. What is repentance? It involves a changing of your mind. And it's a process of turning from sin to Jesus. And when your mind is changed, the reason repentance is so important that we continue to repent. It's not just about a moment of salvation. It's important to continue because when we do that, our mind is changed. That means our focus is changed. What we start to think about changes and our expectations begin to change. And so it says, as the people were hearing this message of repentance, now the people were in expectation. Now they're in expectation. They've heard about repentance, turn from sin, turn to Christ. Here's the message. And they begin to have an expectation. Life is different when you're expecting. Like we talked about with expecting a child. Life is different. Your demeanor, your attitude, your mood, they're all a little different when you're expecting, because expectation involves two specific things: thought and hope. How many of you guys think a lot, but you think hopelessly? Right? We think a lot, but we think negatively. But expectation requires thought and hope. Right? People that expect the worst, that's not expectation, that's fear. Because expectation involves thought and hope, not just thought. Thought and hope paired together, it's an engagement. Expectation is it's engaging both physically, mentally, and spiritually. It's when we are looking forward to what God is going to do. When we're looking forward to something good. This is why we talk about how we should come to worship with expectation. How many of you guys have heard when we come to worship, we shouldn't be expecting anything? Right? People say that. You shouldn't be expecting anything. It's just about worshiping. It's about lifting high the name of Jesus. But I disagree with that. I think we should come with expectation because we should have our mind ready to engage in those words, thinking about the words that we're singing. And then we should have our spirit lined up that this is all about Jesus. I'm thinking about the words, but at the same time, my heart and my focus is set upon God and His goodness and what He has done. And in doing those things, we come encouraging and inviting His presence. Why? Because we have an expectation. We have our mind set on His goodness, and we hope God will show up. We encounter His presence. You know what's so great about the presence of God? This is the place where we find rest and peace for our soul. It's in His presence. Rest and peace. Now, consider the things that will cause you to come to church without expectation. It's when our life is in turmoil, right? It's when we had a struggle that morning or that week, and we're so buried and so overwhelmed and so burdened. You know, our kids drove us nuts, our spouse, you know, we got in a disagreement on the way here, or work's just been unbearable. One of these things that often troubles our soul is the reason we don't come with an expectation. I've just had a bad week. I'm showing up, but that's all I got. I'm just going to show up and get through. We do that because we're tired, because we're weary, and because our mind is focused on something else and we just don't feel like worshiping. But worship with expectation is the exact thing that will lead to the place of peace and rest that we're in need of. If we can get our mind set on, you know what? Forget that stuff. That's why we say forget the cares of the world, right? Set all those things aside and worship God. And there's times, church, in the middle of worship, I have to disengage from the song for a minute and just pray. Be like, Lord, I'm sorry for thinking about that stuff. I'm set on you. Like, let me refocus, re-engage in worship. When we're in expectation, church, it puts our heart in this place of looking forward to what is God going to do. Do you come to worship expecting? Do you come to worship thinking, man, I wonder what God is going to do in my life today? I wonder what God's going to do in the life of the people in our church today, the people that I love, my friends and my family. What's God going to do? We ought to always come with an expectation, church. Amen? Yes. We ought to always have an expectation. Are you in expectation today? I hope that you are. I hope right now you're thinking, man, my mind is set on this. I'm focused on God, and what's He going to do? I can't wait to see what He's going to do. And Luke said that as the people were in expectation, they were there. They were in the mode of expectation. Their mind and their hope set on Jesus. It's then that they all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he's the Christ or not. They're in expectation, soul and spirit, looking forward to something, and this is the place where you can begin to reason in your heart. See, I think we separate those things, and it's like, well, if I'm going to be in worship, I got to completely engage, get lost in the moment, and my mind has to, like, be turned off or put in sleep mode or something. No, there's a time to bring your mind and your reasoning in. It's right here. This right here. We come with expectation and then begin to reason in our heart. This is when we bring together the different reasons, the different things we're thinking about. We deliberate them and try to come to an agreement. And so to give you understanding, the people here, as they're listening to this message about repentance, these people are trying to figure out, okay, this message of repentance and this man that carries this weightiness and this power when he speaks, is he the Messiah or is he not? They were unsure. They weren't even trying to prove that he was, and they weren't trying to prove that he wasn't. They didn't know. They were unsure, but it said they had an expectation. Our mind is set on God. My hope is set on God. I hope this is him because, right, they're ready. They're ready to receive. But it says that they don't know. They were reasoning. Is he the one that we have been waiting for? That's an okay thing to do. It's good to question God, to try to figure out the things of God. But we've got to do it in the right order. See, first they came with an expectation. My mind and soul and spirit looking forward to a Savior. But it's only then, when they're looking to the Savior, then they can begin to deliberate on the thoughts that they have and find out, what does God have in store for me? What is it that God's speaking to me today through this all? And this, church, is where you and I tend to get stuck a lot of times. How many of you are like me and you often start with reasoning? I'm going to figure this out. You just begin to start thinking. I'm just telling you, I'm being honest with you. I do this. It's my go-to. I try to figure everything out first. I think I'm smart or something. I usually end up realizing that I'm not. Okay? But we start with reasoning, and if our first step is to collect our thoughts, to try to think about it from every angle and try to figure something out, church, we're going to fail in the process. We do this especially when we're unsure, especially when we want God to speak to us and tell us something, reveal something to us, but yet we still start with our own mind. What do I think God would say? Who cares what you think God would say? Let's first just focus on Him. Let's get our mind and our hope, our expectations set on Him and what He can do and what He will do. That's the place we've got to start. That's starting with expectation. Right? If you're going to go and you're going to pray, if you're going to set aside 15 minutes in the morning, I'm going to start praying in the morning. Listen, I'm going to tell you that if you're just going to sit down and talk to God with no expectation, you're not going to receive anything. You need to come with expectation. I'm going to sit down 15 minutes, I'm going to talk to God, and I'm expecting God to talk to me. I don't know about you, but God talking to me is way better than me talking to him. And there needs to be both, but I'm just saying me just telling God all the things I want in my life for 15 minutes is not near as fruitful as God saying one thing to me. Amen? And so when you have an expectation, first, when you start there, you're going to see God move. If you start with reasoning, we have a problem. The problem is you've now put more trust in yourself than you have in him. I will figure this out, but if I can't, then hopefully God will speak to me. It needs to be the other way around. It needs to be, I believe God will speak to me, and because he speaks to me, I'll be able to figure this out. Right? That's the right place to be, our mind and spirit looking to God, and then we begin to reason. And when we come and we do things in that order, they lead to something powerful. Revelation. They lead to revelation. Expectation ultimately will lead us to revelation. Why is that? It's because my mind is aligned with my spirit, and as I begin to reason, because my mind is submitted to the spirit, I begin to reason. Now my mind is listening to things that are filtered by my spirit. And this is how the revelation of the Holy Spirit comes, through your spirit. And so it says the people here were expecting. The people that were surrounding John, they're expecting and they're reasoning, trying to figure things out. And it says, then John spoke to them. And when John spoke to them, he didn't just speak his own words. He gave them revelation straight from God. Revelation, church. It's like seeing a light shining down on something that was in the dark, that was hidden. It's like taking a cover off of something and seeing, you know, taking the cover off of that stand that's holding the cross. And so you can see it's just the Christmas tree stand. Right? Some of you guys are probably like, I always wondered what that was like under there. Is it wood? How is that made? How is that being held up? It's just a Christmas tree stand, right? It's being covered up. To reveal it would be just to take that cover off and like, ta-da, that's what it was all along. No big deal. Think about what a revelation is really like for us. And this is the revelation that John gives in verse 16. It says, John answered, saying to all... You guys hear that? To all. This isn't for one specific person. This is for all. He said, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. John the Baptist, speaking to the masses. And I wish that God would give us a vivid picture of how many people were standing around when John says something like this. How many people were lining the banks of the river, number one, just to hear this fool, right? This crazy man that they thought he was, with the locusts and the honey stuck in his beard, wearing like a skin, you know, just this crazy looking. Every time I think of John the Baptist, I imagine Fred Flintstone, right? With the camel skin or whatever kind of skin. It was like a dinosaur what he had, but some kind of skin on, a little bit crazy. You're like, I'm probably not going to trust that guy with a whole lot, but I'm definitely going to come and see what he's going to do, right? So they come and all these people standing out here as he's preaching about repentance. And all of a sudden, the people are getting baptized one after another, after another, after another. Kind of like that day we had last summer, right? When it was like we start to baptize Riley, and at the end of the service, we end up like 12 people. And we're like, how did this happen? And I remember standing back there, and I kept seeing people showing up on my right. And I'm like, are you getting baptized too? And they're like, yep. And I was like, okay. And it was just like... I was like, I felt like I had a little bit of a John the Baptist moment where like, is there anybody that did not get in line? Think about what John is doing here. Think about what he's experiencing. If there's ever a time that John could have got a little caught up in the moment and full of himself, look at the response that's turning out to the message that I am preaching. This would have been the time where he could have got caught up in the moment. Yet he stayed faithful and true to God. He was in expectation. He was in a place where his mind was on Christ. He knew that he's preparing the way, not for his own ministry. He's just some guy. He happened to be the cousin of Jesus, but he's just some guy who's been put in a position to prepare the way for God to move. Church, there's a lot of times in our lives, you and me, all we're here for is we're to prepare the way for God to do something. It doesn't mean you have to do it. You just got to do what he says, and in that, he's using you to prepare a way for God to move. That's all he's doing here. And as he stays faithful, God gives him a revelation to share with the people. Think about this revelation to the people. John says, one is coming that is mightier than I. One mightier. Mightier than me. Like, look at all the people that are responding to the message that I delivered, and it's not about me. It's about the one that's coming. Like, this is great, this turnout, but I'm telling you, you guys all need to set your mind and your hope. You need to have an expectation, not of me doing something great here, but you need to have an expectation for the one that is to come. This is John's way of saying, I am not the Messiah. I'm not the guy you're looking for. I'm just simply a guy that's preparing the way. That's it. This heart that's expecting. Church, if your heart is expecting, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the might and the power of Jesus Christ. It will, if you're expecting. Now, we're not expecting, a lot of times we don't understand that. We don't receive that. But when we're expecting, the Holy Spirit reveals the might of Jesus. That we would know, no matter what we are doing or no matter what we're capable of doing, there's one who is mightier. There's one who's mightier, church. There's one who's more powerful. No matter how good the worship is, right? It's just preparing the way to the one who's mightier. No matter how good the prayer is, no matter how good communion is, how good a preacher is, no matter how good the altar call at the end of the service is, all those things, church, they all just prepare the way for us to experience the one who is mightier. He's mightier. Like, this is just a small introduction to how good God is, to how powerful he is. And John realizes this, and from a spiritual standpoint, again, there's probably nobody doing greater things on the earth than John the Baptist. I don't know about you. Nobody has ever confused me with the Messiah. Have you guys ever done anything that great that people are like, are you God? Right? John was experiencing that. He was experiencing that confusion, like, are you God? Because this is amazing. And yet here he is, no one doing anything greater, but to an expectant heart, he delivers the revelation that, oh no, this, guys, doesn't even compare to the one who is mightier than I. The one who's mightier. In fact, John goes on to say, man, I'm not even worthy to loosen his sandal strap. I'm not even worthy of doing that. Now, I don't know if you realize the significance of that, but there's a specific person that had the job of undoing the sandal strap. It was the lowest servant, right? They had servants, slaves in those days. We'll call them servants, that's what they say. But these servants, that they were, you do this, you do that, the lowest guy, whoever the lowest on seniority was or whatever, or whoever maybe wasn't as good at anything else, they're like, you can take the sandals off the stinky feet. That's your job. That's how much we think of you. You can take the sandals off, man. I don't know about you, but I'm quitting. If my job today is to go around and take all you guys' shoes off, I quit. Not doing it. There's a lot of things I'll do. That's not on my list. The lowest servant, church, took off the sandals. And John says, I'm not even worthy. You hear that? He doesn't say what I said. He doesn't say, I won't do that. He says, I'm not even worthy of doing that. I'm not even good enough to take off the sandal from Jesus' feet. I'm not even worthy. This is humility, church. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less often. And I want to tell you, John here showing humility, he's not actually thinking less of himself. He's not trying to put himself down. What he's doing is he's trying to explain the greatness of Jesus Christ. He is so great, and I'm so nothing that I'm not even worthy to be the one to take the sandal off of his foot. Compared to him, church, we're all that level of unworthy. Compared to Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're nothing. It just means that we can have a revelation of God, that he is so great that, God, I can't even do the lowest of lows for you. I can't even do that. It's just about perspective. It's, again, about expectation, getting our mind and our hope in the right place. A mental knowing is one thing, but a spiritual knowing, church, you probably know up here that God is great, that he's powerful. But man, when you know in here, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? It's a whole different thing. A spiritual knowing of knowing just how great Jesus really is. Expect a mighty God, and a mighty Jesus Christ will be revealed to you, in you, and through you by the Holy Spirit. Amen? You got to expect him to be great first. Listen, it doesn't change who he is. We're talking all about your perspective. And it says when you get that revelation that Jesus is mighty. And not only is he mighty, he's mightier than you. He's mightier than me. He's mightier than every king or president or any other person of power we've ever seen. He's mightier. And when you get that revelation, John says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. To baptize means to immerse. It means to submerge as like a sunken vessel. It means to overwhelm. And if you've decided to accept the free gift of salvation and follow Jesus Christ, you should be baptized in water by immersion. You should do it. And if you've never done it, come and talk to me. You need to do it. It's important, not because it saves, but because Jesus commanded us to do it. He told us to do it, and it's a sign of our commitment to him, and it's a picture of what has happened inside you spiritually. The water baptism that John was doing, he was like, yeah, that too is good. That too is important, but again, let's come back to the expectation. This expectation leads to a revelation that Jesus is mighty. And when we understand that he is mighty, he says Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means he will immerse you with the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys have heard that when you believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you? That's true. That's a whole separate thing. That's true. That's when you're the only way to be born again is for the Holy Spirit to renew your spirit, and you are born again. But right here it says, not that he will come in you, it says that he will immerse you. He will overwhelm you with his presence, and that this is something we should expect. It's something that our mind and our spirit have to be in alignment and looking forward to. And that's where the breakdown often is. If we are in expectation, we get the revelation and we have a powerful encounter with God in our life. And this is the primary issue with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not many expect it. Not many expect it. In fact, many of us have at some point in our life believed the lie that it's not for today, which is the twisting of Scripture. And if anybody would like to know more about that, I'd love to talk to you about it. But I've preached whole messages about it. And when we're not sure about it, then we don't want it. How many of you guys are, you don't want things that you don't really buy into, right? I mean, I don't really want something if I'm not sure I even believe that or buy into that. And that's good because that means you're not coming with expectation anyway. But there's one reason. There's only one reason to belong to Jesus and to not want something that He wants to give you. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. If you belong to Him, there's only one reason that you wouldn't want something that He says, I have this for you. And it's when we skip a step. We've left expectation and we've gone straight to reasoning. I'm going to try to reason this out in my brain. I'm going to try to figure this out. I'm going to take my thoughts on it. I'm going to take what people have told me. I'm going to take the comments, the things I've read, what people say about it, and I'm going to try to decide in my brain, is that of God or is it not? But we missed the step. We forgot about the expectation that first, before I have that conversation with myself, I need to come to a place where my mind is set on God and my hope is in Him, that He will speak to me and give me the answer. Have we tried expecting before reasoning? Have we tried saying, the Bible says Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, and if Jesus is giving it, then it can't be bad, and I want whatever it is that He has for me. I want whatever it is that God has for me. Listen, you can be saved without it. This isn't a matter of salvation. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a means of salvation, just like water baptism is not a means of salvation. But what it does do is give you the power to do what Jesus told you to do, to be a witness. It gives you the power to be a witness. Chad, if I was to ask you to go outside and dig us a hole, okay? I'm going to go outside, dig us a, you know, 6 foot by 6 foot by 6 foot hole in the dirt out there. If I offered you a shovel, would you take it? Or would you be like, you know what, I can probably just figure it out on my own and go out there with your hands and be like, you know what, he must not have real, that hole ain't for me. Right? I don't even know how to do that. I don't even have the ability to do that. Nobody would do that. Nobody would say, yes, I will dig that hole. No, I do not want the tool that you're offering me that I need in order to dig the hole. Nobody would do that. And some of you guys are already thinking, you have a tractor. Okay? Okay. You can have a shovel or a tractor. Are you going to turn me down and say, no, that's good, I'll figure it out on my own and go out there and try to use your hands? Too many Christians aren't digging because they refuse to use the shovel. That's what our problem is. Too many Christians are not digging because they reject the shovel that Jesus has said, here, take this shovel and go dig a hole. And here we are. How am I supposed to be a witness? I don't know how to do this. I can't do this. Well, have you also said no to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because if you have, you're out there trying to dig without a shovel. Church, we've got to expect first and then receive the revelation. He says that on top of that, Jesus will baptize you with fire. He'll baptize you with fire. Now imagine this, to be immersed with fire, to be overwhelmed with fire. You guys know what to do. Stop, drop, and roll. Right? We've been training that since we were little kids. The problem is, I think that we take that into adulthood and we begin to learn about the power of God, that we bring stop, drop, and roll into our spiritual life. And we were never supposed to. We were never supposed to. Jesus will immerse you and overwhelm you with fire. On the day of Pentecost, you read through that in Acts chapter 2, it says a tongue of fire appeared upon them. And the picture is always like a little Bic lighter, you know, just a little flame above their head. I don't believe that's what happened, because I believe what the Word of God says, and it says that He will baptize you with fire. And to baptize means to be immersed and overwhelmed. If you come behind me and you hold a little Bic lighter to the back of my head, I'm probably not going to be real scared. I'm probably going to be like, get out of here. I'm not going to be overwhelmed. But if I all of a sudden was on fire from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I'm going to be a little overwhelmed. I'm going to be a little bit like, what is going on? I'm freaking out. What is happening to me? These people, it says they had been expecting. Do you know how I know they were expecting? It doesn't say it in those words, but they had been waiting. They had been waiting, and they waited and waited, and they prayed and they prayed. And I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting and waiting and praying, there's only one thing that can come from that. An expectation. Because if you don't have an expectation, you're like the other 380 people that left. There's 120 people in that upper room, and they started with 500. And at the end of 10 days, there's only 120. You know what? There's 380 that they did not have an expectation. They're like, forget this, man. I'm going to Taco Bell. There's 120 that said, nope. I'm going to wait and I'm going to pray because I have an expectation. I believe that God is going to show up, and I believe that God is going to do something amazing and great in their mind and their spirit. We're looking forward to that day that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon them. It was kind of like being pregnant. They had an idea of when it would happen, but they did not know the day it was going to happen. They continued because they had an expectation. And the revelation was that they were immersed with fire from God. What is it that fire does? It purifies. Right? Fire purifies. It burns away those things that are impure. Fire burns away impurities for a reason. Not just to look better or be clean, but so that the things that are pure and holy and good can stand out. Church, this is about the power to be a witness. If we burn away insecurity, if we burn away our being embarrassed or these feelings of rejection and fear and doubt, if we let the power of God burn those things away, what stands out? The things that are pure, that you know what? God is good and He is holy and He is just and He loves us. And He will empower us to do good for His kingdom. Church, we're lacking expectation in 2023. The people of God are lacking expectation. And because we're lacking expectation, we're lacking His presence and His power to the way that we ought to have it. Because we're lacking expectation, we're lacking in passion and holiness, being set apart, being separate for the kingdom of God. Jesus knows who He really is. He knows who He really is. He knows that He came to save. He knows that He came to pour out His love upon the church, but He also knows that He came to empower the church. He knows that He came to give us the tools. He doesn't ask us to go dig a hole and not offer a shovel. He came to give us the tools. And I'm going to tell you that today, He knows who belongs to Him. You know, that's not my job to try to judge. It's not your job to try to judge. We're told about false prophets that we'll know them by their fruit, and then we apply that to everything, which to a degree you can use, that you'll know people by their fruit. Are they producing good? Are they producing bad? But sometimes people are just good at faking. At the end of the day, it's God. It's Jesus who's the judge. And it's He's the one that knows who are really His. Can I tell you that you probably go to almost every church across America and there's people in the church that are not born again, but you think they are. Now, I'm not saying don't miss this. I'm not saying try to reason it out and try to figure it out. What I'm saying is Jesus knows. He knows who lives for Him versus who just lives for His blessings. He knows who wants Him and has fellowship and relationship with Him versus who just wants him to do stuff on their behalf. He knows those things. And it says that he has a winnowing fan. This fan where they would put the wheat on the floor, the threshing floor, and they'd pump that fan, and it would separate the chaff from the wheat. The chaff is that light outer part. It would blow it all off, get rid of it, the part that's not needed, so that what would remain would be the good wheat. Church, we know there's going to be a day of separation. We know that there's going to be a day of separation. That Jesus, not us, not you, not me, not church leadership, not an evangelist, Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to say, I know, right? You can be deceived, but I know who belongs to me. And so for you and me today, church, this is the day. Today is the day to give it all to Jesus. Amen? Just stand with me. We consider giving it all to him. I've shared this before, but I have a pastor friend who had a man in his 90s that got baptized, who had been in church for 60 years, every Sunday. And there was one day, that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and revealed to him that he wasn't born again. He'd never actually given his life to Christ. He just came to church. And listen, this isn't to get you to question. I'm not trying to get you to question. If you've given your life to the Lord, I'm not saying it's a time for you to question it. What I'm saying is it's a time for you to have an expectation. It's a time to have an expectation that if I will seek the Lord, if I will focus on Him, put my mind on Him, be fixed on Him, and hope that He will speak to me, that He'll give me a revelation, that He will speak to me the things that I need. Listen, I'm not trying to speak to you the things that you need, because I don't know. But He does. He does. And this morning, if we can take this, that today's the day of expectation. Man, if you don't know this, if you don't know that Jesus loves you, if you don't know how mighty He really is, if you've yet to really grasp that and understand that, I want you just to go into a time of worship here with expectation. That God, I'm going to worship you. And as I fix my eyes upon you and who you are, will you speak to me? Will you give me revelation? I have hope today that God will speak. Today is the day of expectation. That means thought and hope. They both got to be going. Engaging mentally and spiritually. And out of this, that the revelation of the goodness of God and the power of God would come upon us. Church, today, in that kind of expectation, that if we've yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire, that today would be the day. They would say, God, I want that. Now, I know you're probably thinking, I don't really want to go out and witness. That's exactly why you need this. That's exactly why you need it. Because we don't want to go out and witness. Because it's hard. But I'm going to tell you, this makes it not as hard. This makes it different when you're empowered by His Spirit. When you have the fire of God upon your life that burns away those things that scare us off from doing the work that God has called us to do. If you have an expectation, church, I want you to come. God shows up when we're expecting. When we're expecting, God is faithful. He's faithful, church. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your power and your mercy and your grace. God, right now I pray for the people within the sound of my voice in this building and those watching online. God, I ask that right now, you would help us to set our minds on you. Lord, that as we think about you and the goodness of God, and we have a hope that God will speak to me. Lord, as we enter into that place of expectation, Lord, will you reveal yourself to us? Will you reveal what we need to us. Holy Spirit, will you speak to each and every one of our hearts? Lord, we're expecting a mighty God. And Jesus, we know that you are that mighty God. We know that you are mightier than us. And so we set aside that reasoning. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we just silence the voice of the enemy that is trying to influence our thoughts, trying to get us to question the Word of God, trying to get us to question what our heart is telling us to do. Lord, we just ask right now that that voice be silenced in Jesus' name. And God, that you would give us the clarity of your voice, that we would hear that still, small voice speaking to us. And Lord, I pray right now as we open up the altars in worship, God, for those who are afraid to take that step, those who are worried about what people think, those who are unsure of what's going to happen, God, that right now you would burn away those things that are impure. And God, what would remain is the thing that is pure, which is a soul that is hungry for God, a soul that wants more of you. And for those who have yet to taste the goodness of God, Lord, I pray that today would be that revelation of your goodness and your mercy and your grace, that no matter how far they've fallen, God, that it's not too far for Jesus to reach down and pick them back up and place their feet on solid ground, that today would be the day of salvation, and today would be the day of empowering by your Spirit. We give it all to you. We ask you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.